You're not worried that we're becoming this very gentle, respectful culture, that the people won't be funny anymore?
I'm worried that every time I see a comedian apologize, just to end it. Just because you took what I said seriously doesn't mean I now meant it. Like, you don't get to decide that, what, you're in my head and you know my intent? Like, if I'm saying something and I'm joking. This is the deal. Those people who get offended like that, if they want to see stand-up comedy, they should hire a comic for a private show and go, these are the topics you can talk about, these are the topics you don't. So you come in to the hostile environment of a comedy club and we get to say whatever we want. Like, the amount of times they've shown clips, they'll be like, controversy at the Laugh Factory. And they show the bit and the whole crowd laughed. There was no controversy. One person got pissed, wrote a blog. It's a lazy journal story.
Right.
And the next thing you know, you're on a split screen. And you're sitting there talking to a f***ing blogger.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
Hello, I'm world-famous television news broadcaster Brendan McLaughlin, and you're listening to The Homemade Broadcast. That makes you really smart.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3... 2, 1.
Will the soundtrack kindly produce a sound? Go on, don't be nervous. Go ahead. Any sound? Well, that isn't quite what I had in mind.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio, on RadioSt.Pete.com. Good day, good evening, good morning, whatever time of day it is. My name is Will Koontz, host of this here program every Sunday, 6:15 p.m. on Radio St. Pete. Mondays, 10:15 p.m. Tuesday, bright and early, 4:15 in the morning. Oh, boy. Or you can just go to HMBRadio.com and catch up on this here program, as well as others, including James Bailey's My Mom's Favorite Podcast. That's also available there. More coming soon, so they say. We'll see. Got a meeting on Friday, an exciting meeting on Friday at City Hall. So we shall see what is coming for St. Petersburg on Radio St. Pete and HMB Radio. Hopefully good stuff. I hope so. Maybe something that puts a few shekels in Billy's pocket. That would be nice, so I can eat food that's not all carbohydrates. I'm on the verge of diabetes. I need some vegetables. I need some meat. I can't eat spaghetti anymore. Please, God. I want some chicken. I want to eat healthy. I do. But unfortunately, it's impossible for me to do so. I know, you look on the internet, there's ways to do it, I get it. I also don't have a lot of time, because I'm producing other people's podcasts, I'm producing my podcast. I'm doing comedy open mics, 2, now maybe 3. I'm not bragging, I'm just saying that I have stuff to do, and I don't really have time to sit down and cook. My only free time is the weekends. Sorry, I'm not going to meal prep, I'm not that guy. I'd like to be that guy. I'd like to plan times where I can go to the gym or go for a walk. I'm spur of the moment. I don't have it in me to plan things. I'm not that guy. Anywho, HMB Radio is brought to you by Sly Bar, 2061 Central Avenue, slybar.com. Check out the open mic there every second and fourth Tuesday. Still going strong. Been a little slow because I guess summers are slow. I didn't know that. It's not the time of year for industry or for people to go out and watch things. I guess it's just a slow time of year. I've talked to a lot of people who run mics. Their mics are slow too. It's nice to know that I'm not the only one. Let's put it to you that way. And of course, Yard of Ale every Thursday at 10 p.m. to midnight. Check out hmbradio.com/events to check that out. Sly Bar, second and fourth Tuesday. I said that correct. That starts at about 8:30, 9 o'clock. That one's a little earlier. That's on a Tuesday. So come check it out. Sly Bar's got food now. They got sandwiches and a whole lot. So they're hooked up there, you know. You get some beers. You get some food in you. You get to watch some free comedy. We got money we give away. I don't know any open mic in the Tampa Bay area that gives away money. We do. We believe comics should get paid for their craft, and we try to do that as much as possible. Joe and Lauren, really good guys, really supportive of Tampa Bay comedy, and I'm glad to see it, for one. And we have a new sponsor, of course, Truvy Salon and Spa, 8098 4th Street North in St. Petersburg. Go talk to Chrissy down there, 727-329-9751. I haven't gotten a haircut in probably 2 years, but the last time I did, I let Chrissy do it. And Chrissy did a fine gosh darn job, if you ask me. So check out Chrissy at Truvy Salon and Spa, 727-329-9751. If you want to get a hold of this program, or James Bailey, or anybody else, well, not anybody else, pretty much me or James, you can call our little voice box thing. You can text message. You can leave a voicemail, whatever you want, at 813-693-2124. If you have a really hilarious diss for me, I will play it proudly. And I will say kudos to you, sir, for that great diss on me. So the big news over the weekend was a gorilla was shot and killed in a zoo because a four-year-old was left, I guess fell in. I don't know how you fall in. I think the parent just pushed the kid over and was hoping for that gorilla to rip its head off because it's annoying, because babies are annoying, I guess. Some people love theirs. I don't get it, but that's because I don't have my own. Maybe one day, if I can keep a relationship past 6 months, I will have my own baby that I can one day push in a gorilla cage. So, anyways, the big to-do for me was I saw a lot of Facebook friends of mine. See, I don't know what's jokes anymore and what's not, but even if it is a joke, it has to be real. You can't just make stuff up. I mean, you can, I guess, but you don't... It has to be based on some sort of truth, right? So they were wondering what would happen if the child that fell in the gorilla cage was black. If they probably would have just tranquilized the gorilla or not done anything at all, because of course the civilization is terribly racist. So they were pontificating about what would happen if it was a black child that fell into the gorilla cage, and this poor gorilla was murdered because of some white child that fell into the gorilla cage, and that is white privilege. Turns out, not shockingly at all, the child that fell in the gorilla cage was, drumroll, a black child. That's right, it was a black child. And you people that are upset about them killing this gorilla, you're stupid, because that little child is worth more lives than 1,000 gorillas put together. Gorillas offer not too much to society. That could be the next president of the United States that they pulled out of that little gorilla cage there. And if you think that that gorilla was killed needlessly, I believe the zookeeper said that he watched that gorilla crush coconuts with its bare hands. Not something you really want to mess with. And that occasion, I guess the little kid was getting dragged underwater, and he was sitting them up, and I guess some people thought that he was sitting them up because he was going to take care of the kid. I don't know how you can project that and assume that that's what it was. He was probably saying, I don't know if I should rip this little thing's head off and eat it. Is this food? I don't know. It's a stupid gorilla that doesn't understand anything. So you people that were upset about the gorilla, you're dumb. And you should relax and stop being stupid. So if you want to leave me a hate message, 813-693-2124. If you want to get mad about the gorilla, tell me your thoughts on it. Or email me, thehomemadebroadcast@radiosaintpete.com. Or you can get a hold of me on Facebook, facebook.com/HMB Radio. And Twitter, of course, home_made_man. Tell me your thoughts about the gorilla. Or don't. I'd rather not hear them. Because if they're saying that the gorilla shouldn't have been killed. You're wrong anyways. And I don't like to hear wrong opinions because that's stupid. So anyways, today on the show, we have comedian Taurus. I never know how to say his name. I don't know if it's Taurus, Taurus. I don't know how black guys get away with just having one name and everyone just know who it is. I guess Taurus is a pretty unique name, though. So you can kind of, like, I couldn't just be like Will. Nobody would know who the heck that is, and nor anybody would care, for that matter. So anyways, comedian Taurus is here. I'm going to finally figure out how to say his name because I want to be in the right. So without further ado, my man, comedian Taurus. What's up, man?
Hey, how you doing it?
Good, yeah, you can move that however you want, up, down, all around. All
right, awesome.
Just got to, like, get really close to the mic, adjust the headset, because James Bailey was sitting there, and he has a huge melon. So sorry about the parking, man. I know it's a pain in the ace.
Oh, wow, I tell you.
Is that you in a gray sedan that was driving around?
Yeah, that's me right there, man.
I saw suspicious. You. I walked outside, yeah, I was like, is there a drive-by out there?
Yeah.
This neighborhood's too nice for that, though.
Yeah, it was me. That's the hardest thing I had to do in, like, over 15 years, find a parking space.
Were you just walking, or were you driving around the same block, though?
I drove around a couple blocks, but I got lost. Like, where do we live again?
It's a grid system. Streets and avenues. It's easy. You know, yeah. I can't make fun of you too bad about that, though, because it took me 3 years, I would say, to finally understand the grid system. North, south, east, and west. I would freak out if I missed a turn somewhere,
yeah.
And then because the next one would be a one-way, right?
True.
And then I'd be like, oh, God, what do I do? Now you could just take the left on the next street, you know,
yeah.
Two down instead. And it took me about 2 years.
Two years.
Before I stopped panicking about driving here.
Yeah, I live in Tampa, so I don't get over here much.
Right yeah. Now. Yeah, I see you at Slybar quite a bit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's just like a once, you know, just get on interstate, get off, and make a turn, and you're there, you know. So
yeah.
Anything more than that, I probably would I can't make that trip.
Man, I never go to Tampa. I hate driving, though.
Do you?
I despise it. I got in a couple car accidents, and ever since then, I'm still kind of sheepish about driving. Yeah.
Yeah, I can understand that.
So I never get over Tampa. And Tampa is a whole other animal whenever I drive down there. I was supposed to go down to John's mic tonight to grab the equipment that we need for the Yard of Vale mic.
Yeah.
Because he's going out of town. But then I found out I had jury duty. So
oh,
I
wow.
figured we'd just cancel it this week. So I was like, yes, I don't have to drive to Tampa. Thank God.
It's not that bad, actually. You know, as long as you get there before 5 and after 7.
Yes. Yeah. I know it's not that bad, but it's bad enough for me.
Oh.
But it's the same thing. It would take me 2 years for Tampa, and then I'd be good to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But once you learn a big intersection, you know, it'd be fine.
Yeah. What part of Tampa do you live in?
Actually, I live in Ruskin area.
That's north, right?
Actually, south.
South. Okay.
Yes. All right. South. Yes.
Are you from Tampa?
Yes. I was born in Georgia. Moved to Tampa when I was 2 years old. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're a homeboy now.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Oh, yeah. That's my home right there, my city.
Do you have, who did you move with when you moved down here? Just your whole family?
Yes, my mom and my aunt. Yeah.
Yeah.
Moved down from Georgia, so. I was very young at the time.
Do you remember Georgia at all?
Oh, yeah. I have family in Georgia.
So you get up there and visit a lot?
Oh, yeah, definitely. At least 2 or 3 times a year.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So you've been doing comedy for, I guess you've been coming to Sly Bar for like 6 months or so?
Yes, about 6 months.
How long has it been for you since you started doing stand-up?
I actually started stand-up about a year ago. Started doing stand-up full-time about a year ago. You know, really hitting it. I tried it before about 12, 15 years ago. I tried, you know, dabbed in it, but just hit the stage like once a week. And had a buddy of mine that, hey, I'm going to the improv. And I said, oh, cool, I tried that before. So I went out to support him. And I seen some of the comments. And I said, you know what, I thought I could do this. So I did it, and I took off ever since, you know.
Is that the first time you did comedy in Tampa? Was that the improv?
No, actually, I started back at when it used to be called Tropics. In North Tampa.
Okay.
We had a little comedy club called Tropics.
Uh-huh. Is that still around?
No, it's not around any longer. But I started there, you know, cutting hair and everything. A couple of comics would come in and get haircuts. They thought I was the funniest guy in the shop. So, you know, they said they dared me to get on stage, and I tried it, you know.
How'd you do?
I did all right. You know, it was a lot harder than I thought it would be, you know.
Yeah.
Different from being in a barbershop, you know, making people laugh.
Yeah, totally. totally different atmosphere. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know what I noticed about improv? I don't know if you noticed this, too. It's like parting the Red Sea. There's such a dynamic group of people in there. Every race, creed, gender.
Yeah.
There's black people on one side and white people on the other side. But they all kind of intermix, you know. We talk to each other and everything.
Exactly.
But then everybody's got their own side of the room. What's the deal with that?
You know what? This comedy thing, I guess it's like anything else. You know, you got two different cultures and, you know, I guess we... It just... Life, I guess. You know, get a little divided there, you know, but... It, all in all, we all come together, you know, when it's time. You know, I need advice from whoever, you know, we come together. But it is a little divided. I noticed that, too, you know, in my little short stint with comedy. But, you know, I guess it's one of those things, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I guess people self-segregate, too. That's true. It's just
yes,
you get with people that look like you, and that's the way. It's like when
you
walk into a party or something, you try to find the guy or person that you relate to.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That's probably more so like comedy. Exactly.
Yeah. You know what else I was wondering, too?
Yeah.
Black guys can get away with one name.
Yeah.
Taurus. That's you.
That's my
Everybody
name.
Knows who that is, too. Whenever I said, oh, yeah, Taurus is coming. Oh, okay. Everybody knows exactly who that is. I don't know why. I guess it's because it's kind of a unique name.
True.
You know, if I was to go by Will, everybody would be like, who the hell is that?
Yeah, that's something. You know? It's like a million Wills, you know?
Yeah.
But actually, when I started comedy, like I said, like years ago, you know, I actually didn't have a name. And one of the comics, the guy that hosted, he called me up as Master T. And that name stuck with me for about a year, you know. Like I said, I was just doing comedy like once a week, that Friday. And I look forward to that. And I used to always hit the stage with Master T.
Is that a play off Master P, the rapper?
Exactly. I guess that's what he... Exactly. Exactly.
No Limit Soldiers. Yeah.
Like, why you call me Master T? It just stuck with me, though. But, you know, this time around, I said, you know what? I just go with Taurus, you know? That's my name, so...
Yeah. So how long you been... You've been doing it a year, you said, down
yes,
here?
Yes, I've been at it about a year now. About a year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So have you found it... I mean, I guess you like it. There's that thing where you do it, and then you find out real quick if it's for you or not.
Exactly.
Yeah. And there's nothing better for you.
Comedy is, I love it. I've always been making people laugh since the beginning of talk, actually. I always was that guy that was the life of the party, I guess they called me. I was making people laugh no matter what. And even as a little kid, growing up with my other peers, you know, the other kids and everything, I was always that one that could, what we called back then was chew the best, so... And I guess either get it or you don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you have it, though. I mean, you're trying anyways.
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely trying. I'm still at the beginning stages. And I must say, it's taken off a lot quicker than I would think that, you know, than I thought it would for me. It has. I've been blessed, actually.
Yeah. You've been putting on your own shows now. You had one at the Brass Mug last month, right?
Yes. May 19th, I had one at my first show. It was a very, very successful show. And I had a lot of support. And everything. Actually, standing room only in my first show. So, look forward to doing more shows and everything.
Yeah. It's been really slow. At least open mics have been. Not for comics, but for people attending the shows.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I wonder, I guess that has to do with just the time of the year. Summertime is nobody comes out. I don't know. That's what I've heard, anyways.
Exactly. I'm seeing that also when I'm looking out there in the stands. Like, hey, where everybody's at? You know?
Yeah.
So, I guess it's that time of the year, you know? I was talking to another comic, and that's what he blamed it to, you know. So, actually, I was doing a show, doing a couple of open mics in Lakeland at the Winter Circle, and they stopped doing open mics due to the low crowd numbers and everything. So, and they said it's just not the season for it right now, but hey, I'm gonna stick around and see what happens, you know. Hopefully.
Yeah, I know. I feel bad because of Sly Bar sometimes, because it's not as well attended as I would like it to be. But I also know that it will come back. You just got to stick through those rough periods.
Exactly. And almost like the stock market.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. It's nice to have a venue that will stick with you.
Exactly. That's true.
Is Brass Mug doing that for you, or are you already planning another show?
We're in planning works right now, actually. Not exactly sure. We're still working on the date for the next show and everything, but we have to promote. I mean, us comics, we have to do our job as well. We want to see people out there in the seats to listen to us, you know, with our jokes, and hopefully make this our career, you know. We got to get out there and promote different locations and venues so they can come out and, you know, and bring good material also, you know.
Yeah. Yes. Well, there's a lot of talented people here in the Tampa Bay area. There's also a lot of not talented people who still push hard and still try to do this.
Yes.
And so it's definitely a passion thing. You have to really want to do this. But I will notice even people that, you know, I've been running the Sly Bar mic a couple years. There's people that I was like, whoa, that's not good. And then all the, like, they're a lot better. It's something that you can get better at if you continue and work at it.
Exactly. It's like anything that, you know, a musician or someone that has a craft in plumbing or whatever, the more times you do it, the better you're going to get, you know. That's like swinging a bat as in baseball, you know. You might get the fastball starting out, but you work at it and practice long enough, it will happen. I noticed that with me. I've been hitting the stage grinding. I have, and I can see the results happening and everything, you know. So definitely have to stick with your craft if you like it, you know. And the ones that may not seem to be as funny right now, I tell you, they got a lot of heart still getting on that stage. And I do see some people like, wow, 6 months ago I was like, what in the hell is he doing out here?
Yeah.
But now I tell you, he's actually about to ask one of my buddies to be on my next show. He's doing so well now, you know.
So I noticed too that there's a big difference between St. Pete people and Tampa people, because there are so many Tampa people that I have not met that don't travel across the bridge to do open mics.
Yes. I noticed a couple too that usually stay like just the improvs and the different places in Ybor City that they don't want to branch out, or, you know, as far as going to St. Pete or Lakeland, I noticed that. I don't know. I really don't know what it's contributed to. It is not able to travel or what, but I noticed that as well, you know.
I think that's part of it, the travel thing. Not all comics have cars, you know, they're depending on other people for rides. But also, I think they stick with side splitters and improv just because those are the clubs. Those are the ones that you, or snappers too, for that matter, where you can get paid work if you go to the open mics and show what you can do. But also, I think people make the mistake of, you still need to practice. You still need to go and perform in front of audiences.
You do have to hit the stage.
You got to do it, like, I think Bill Burr said 4 or 5 nights a week you should be out there doing jokes if you really want to do this.
Yeah. I hear the same thing. I read a lot of successful comics and, you know, try to see what path they took and see if I can, you know, get on that same level, because I hear you got to put... Someone, I think I read, said you got to at least hit the mic 10,000 times or so.
10,000 hours.
10,000 hours. Yeah, exactly.
That's how you master something, which is a long time.
It's like 10 years. Exactly.
If you're doing it all the time, because I was thinking about the podcast. Like, I'm 140 episodes in. That's almost 140 hours.
Awesome.
So I'm still terrible. I have a long way to go.
Hey, your name, you know, you build a name for yourself, you know.
Yeah.
You know, a couple other comments that, you know.
Yeah.
Doing podcasts and everything. So I was like, wow. I was like, thanks for inviting me to do it. You know?
Oh, definitely. I want to talk to every Tampa comic at least once, and hopefully more. What I'd like to do with this show eventually is, if it turns into a radio format, we're on the air at some point live, I want to have rotating chairs of just local comics come through.
Awesome.
Just to chat and, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Let's see that happening.
I hope so, man.
Like anything, man. You just got to just keep doing it and doing it, and, you know, it will come.
That's what I hear, but it's frustrating sometimes.
It can be. Many nights of just doing comedy, I was just like, oh, do I have it or, dang, you know, is it coming quick enough for me? Everybody want that instant fame. It just, you have to work for it, anything you do, you know. You have to work for it. Like, I tell people, hey, that's a long process for me. I appreciate all the accolades and all the, you know, you're a funny guy and everything, but really, I'm just starting out, and I know I have a long road ahead of me, and I'm willing to take that travel, you know?
It's amazing how people think that way. Like, I won an open mic competition, so I guess fame's right around the corner. I've seen people on Twitter, you know, not going to name any names, but tweeting at celebrities like, hey, can I be on your show? Because I'm doing pretty good down here in St. Petersburg, Florida. So, you know, pick me out of obscurity. They've got to be any day now.
True.
Right?
And that's crazy, because I read a little something about that today where, you know, people are like, okay, when can I get my first hosting gig? When can I get my first paid gig? You know, I'm like, hold up. How many times you hit the stage? Only 4 times? I'm like, oh. Hold up there, buddy.
Yeah. I had one guy stand me up. I had a paid gig at USF St. Pete. This was last year. And he said, well, I think I have to work. Let me check to be sure. I said, okay, let me know.
Yes.
And he said, all right, I'll be there. And then it's getting ready to be showtime here, and still, this guy still hasn't shown up.
Oh, wow.
And I said, what's up, man? And he goes, I'm still at work.
So, oh,
sorry.
Ah, oh, man.
And I was like, never again. You're done.
I know it.
I can't hire you.
I was in that position 2 weeks ago when I did my show, you know. I booked a comic, and it's like, I forgot I got another gig, but I couldn't. I try to make it, you know. I think I can make it. What time you meet me there? I was like, oh, my gosh. Come on, dude.
Yeah, you just got to say, I'll find somebody else.
Yeah.
If they do that,
they
think I can make it. You have to be there.
You have to be there.
It's
exactly.
A job. You
yes.
can't. If you show up late to your job, they'll fire you. You can't
exactly.
even do that.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I keep tabs of that, which comics actually show up to gigs. I was putting on indie shows, too, but now with all the open mics we're doing, and then this is kind of, you know, the podcast is taking off. I'm recording Bailey's and supposedly some more here pretty soon. It's
yeah.
hard to – I don't have any time during the week.
Oh,
I mean, I'm doing nothing. Well, I'm doing stuff, but,
yeah.
I mean, work, you know, and no fun whatsoever.
Exactly.
So the weekend's the only time I get to relax.
True.
And, you know, even then still, if something has to be done, it has
True.
To be done. But that's what I think Tampa needs is more indie showcases. There's a lot of open mics.
It is.
Not a lot of showcases.
Yes, and that was one of my things I wanted to do because someone told me a while back, hey, you want to hit the stage, get your own show, you know. So that inspired me, like, okay, I need to find a venue. So I found a venue and just went out on faith and everything and I did my show, and it was successful, so I'm like, okay, maybe I can bring a forum for other local comedians to showcase their talent in the Bay Area. That's why my comedy show was Tampa Bay Area Comedy Bash. It was for the Tampa Bay Area, so we get out there, hit the stage, and people get in front of real people, not just like people like, okay, I'm just going to come out tonight. You know, people that
yeah.
actually want to see comedy, that's the thing.
Yeah, doing comedy in front of other comics is brutal.
It is.
It's not fun.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they might still enjoy it, but I think a lot of them are waiting for their time, so they're not paying attention.
Yes.
So it's good to have civilians in the audience that's just there to have a good time and watch.
True.
So with yours, are you going to do, like, monthly or, you know, bi-monthly? How are you going to try to run your...
Right now, I probably need, like, six weeks to promo, and I get people like, hey, come on, you should like, do one right back, you know, back-to-back. And, like, within 2 weeks, I'm like, hold up, you need time to promo. You got to do this right. I want to do it right. You know, it's my name now, Taurus the Bull Entertainment. So I want to do it right, and I want to put out a good product, you know, because I have people asking already, hey, when you going to do the next show? They, like... ready for it, but, you know, I'm going to bring it out when it's time. But hopefully I can do it every month. That's my big goal, do it every month, monthly. And who knows, maybe bi-weekly, you know, bi-monthly or whatever.
Yeah.
Two times a month, you know. So we'll see, you know, just taking my time and hopefully put out a great show again.
Yeah, it's hard, too, for indie comics because you want to work the improv or side splitters. That's
yeah.
where you need to end up if you want to advance.
Exactly.
So you run into predicaments sometimes. We had one with John where we were going to do Yard of Ale on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
And the improv did not want him to do that, which initially I was like, screw them, you know. But
True.
Then I had Kyle explain it to me that John has the ability to work improv. You don't want to alienate the improv.
Oh, definitely, yes.
That's the one you need. You know,
biting the hand that feeds you.
Exactly.
No, you definitely want to do that.
So, you know, it's hard because you put on a successful show, and then hopefully you get called up to AAA or whatever, working feature sets at the improv.
Exactly.
And then these indie shows fall apart. So that's why I think I can maybe put on more indie shows because I'm not trying to get gigs at improv.
Yeah.
You know, that's not my journey. I love stand-up.
Yes.
I just don't think I'm particularly good at it.
I think you're pretty funny, actually. You know, every time I've been out there, I'm like, look at you, he's pretty witty, you know.
Thanks, man.
I was like, when is this next show? I want to come out and see him.
I think the last time I did stand-up was September, so it's been a while. I just don't have that, I got to do this again right now. I have fun,
yeah.
You know, and I enjoy it. But I don't have that. I can't wait to do this again.
Really?
Type of thing.
Yeah, you
yeah.
do need that fire. I tell you, I get off that stage. It's like, okay, when next time going on, you know, I can't wait to get back on stage. I'm getting this, like, this feeling like I got at least do I can't wait to Monday because I'm married and everything. And it's like, got to put family time in, of course, and everything. So every time I get a chance, you know, I do want to hit the stage. I'm getting that feeling like, okay, I'm working on new material. I want to try this material out. I want to try it out, and, you know, and just to get on stage and try it out and see it's successful is like a great, one of the greatest feelings, you know.
That's tough, man, having a family, having a day job. And then do you have kids too?
Yes.
So how do you manage that? I mean, your wife must be super understanding.
She's
about it.
Very understanding. I'm telling you, I'm like the luckiest guy on earth, I tell you, because she's very understanding. And you got to communicate, you know. So we definitely got to keep open lines like, okay, three nights a week it is. You know, we agreed three nights a week, so that's what I do. If I have a paid show or whatever, she comes out with me, and she's happy, you know. That's a happy wife is a happy life. So you have to learn to balance both of them because I do work hard.
Yeah.
Yes.
How old are your kids?
Oh, wow. I got a 21-year-old, 18. I know I don't look that old.
You do look pretty young. I was going to say you're, what, mid-30s?
Actually, I just had a birthday May 29th.
Oh, big 40. That's
40.
Right.
Yeah, 40. Just turned 40.
What's
yes.
that like?
Oh,
do you notice a difference?
Asked that question the other day. What is that like? Well, I tell you, I'm finding I'm having hair growth from all orifices. That's what it's like. But other than that, you know, it's been great. I feel I'm just blessed because I'm able to get around. I'm healthy, and I'm feeling good, actually.
Yeah. Comedian Torres is joining me on the Homemade broadcast this week. I turned 30. Well, I'm 31 now, so I'm in it now. I'm in my 30s. And they say it's just a number. But I have definitely noticed a difference. I'm usually asleep by no later than 1 o'clock in the morning. I used to be up till 5 and then
yes.
get up and go. If I have 6 beers, forget it. I'm screwed the next day. I used to carry around a pint of vodka in my back pocket and go out and
yes.
have a good time and be fine. Not fine, but I could function throughout the day, you know?
Exactly.
I am just miserable if I have 6 beers now and wake up in the morning.
Oh, you definitely feel it, you know? I mean, like, my wife took me to Orlando for my birthday and everything, and I tell you, I didn't want to be a party pooper, but it was getting late. I'm like, all right, honey, it's about time to start making it to the room.
It's
and I used to be at the party. Exactly. It's like, oh, I just ate and I'm sleepy now.
I'm still a little bit hungry. There's room service there, you know, mini bar. There's a pool I can just lay in.
Exactly.
Don't bother me.
Exactly. You look for a restful weekend. You know, that's like the greatest weekend is a weekend where you just sit back on the couch watching television.
Yeah.
You know, when I was younger, it's like, hey, let's get out and party. Yeah, come on. Let's call me at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Dude, that's what I did this weekend. Yeah. I had a long weekend, so I was planning out, what am I going to do? I'm also broke, so that kind of helps,
yeah.
you know, where my priorities lie.
True.
I watched Series 2 of Bloodline, which is about 10 hours of television that I
yes.
watched this weekend, and slept all weekend. But I had a long week the week
True.
Before, so I was ready just to take it easy. And it was a lot of boozing, which, like I said, if I have a few beers, I'm screwed the next day. And you also don't sleep, really. You pass out, but your brain is not asleep and doing what it needs to be doing.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
I was so tired on Friday that I had a gig that I was supposed to do recording this concert for Radio St. Pete, and I
yes.
ended up not having the right connectors. And I was like, well, that sucks, but kind of cool because I can go home now and lay down. And that's exactly what
down,
I did.
Right?
Yes. I watched Netflix. I watched a bunch of Anthony Bourdain shows and Bloodline and slept the entire weekend. And it was fantastic.
That was an awesome weekend, right? Did you have a little
awesome.
Pizza at least? Or
what did I do? I got burritos. I had
okay.
2 burritos during the weekend. So
there you go.
I can't eat pizza anymore. I don't
no?
like it.
What?
Well, I shouldn't say that. I can and I do eat pizza.
Yeah.
But that's like everybody's favorite food, right?
Yeah,
pizza.
One of the favorite, exactly. That's true.
I think I ate too much of it. I had my fill of pizza.
You pizza it out now,
I'm
right?
Pizza it out. I have a few just, you know, frozen pizzas. I'm a bachelor, so I just throw those in the oven or something like that.
True.
But I'm a burrito guy.
Yeah, burrito. So that's one of your favorite foods now, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think burritos are it because I got the California tacos down the road here.
Yeah.
Excellent, by the way. If you ever haven't checked it out, be sure to check it out. And then there's Chipotle across the street.
Yeah.
So I have my choice of burritos. So
true.
I can get one. Saturday, Sunday, head over to Chipotle.
Yeah.
Totally new experience with a burrito. Totally different flavors. Delicious, both of them.
Yes.
So
the burritos, my wife went out in Orlando Saturday, went to Senior Frogs, and I had a burrito, and that thing was awesome. I'm like, wow, I might have to try this more often because I'm really not, like, you know, burrito type or empanada. I don't do that much, really, you know.
Yeah. What's your favorite food?
Be honest with you, got to be like the collard greens and the oxtails and the.
Never had oxtails. Want to try them though?
Oh,
there is a food truck, Heavy's food truck, that's around here.
Yes.
And he makes. Oh. I've had his pork chop. I had his chicken, and there's oxtails on the menu.
That's right.
So what would you compare it to? Because it's a little frightening for me. I don't know why necessarily. Because it's just meat, right?
Just meat. I guess it's the way they prepare it. How can I?
It seems like it would be
beefy.
Pork.
Not a little beefy to me. It's a little
yeah.
Beefy. Yes, it is. It's beefy, but
well, ox so is a cow.
Cow,
right?
Yes.
Okay, so that makes sense then.
Yeah. So that's.
So is it cartilage, and then there's meat around the tail?
It's actually a bone and meat. That's how I equate it to. It's a hard bone with meat around it, and it's just so tender and it just falls right off. I mean,
I'm gonna do it.
I got it. I got my wife. She makes great oxtails too. So I mean, might have to try it.
Have to come over to your house.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
bring me some
you're
next
welcome.
Time.
You're
I'll
welcome.
Definitely
I'll
try
let you
out.
Know. Definitely let you know.
All right. I have to drive to Tampa though, but it'll be worth it for the oxtail. I'm ready. I'm ready to try. I will not say no. To any food.
No.
I decided I will try anything.
Yes.
I can't even remember, actually, the last time I tried something that I didn't like.
Really?
I try weird stuff, too. I don't care.
Octopus and...
I would eat... Yeah. I like octopus. Definitely.
Really?
I kind of feel bad eating those things, though, because they are really smart. You seen those YouTube videos of them, like, climbing out of the cages and all this crazy stuff?
I haven't seen that.
It's wild. They're crazy, man.
Really?
Yeah. I think they're a lot smarter than we give them credit for.
Are you a seafood eater?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yep. Don't really like fish, but I like everything else.
Sam, I love fish, but I'm allergic to shellfish. So.
Oh, okay. Bummer.
I know. I get it all the time. It's funny because it didn't happen until I was like the age of 15 or 16, you know.
Oh, so you've experienced that's
exactly.
Even worse
I
because
know
you've
it.
Experienced
exactly.
It. And then
exactly.
That happens, though. That can happen. You develop them later in life.
True, and that's what happened. I tell you, the first time I had a reaction, I'm like, what the heck's going on?
You just swell up. You're like, I
actually,
think
my
dying.
Mouth was like really itchy. I'm like, what my mouth is itching for? I'm like.
Oh, and you can't scratch
yeah,
the mouth.
Exactly. Either. Exactly. It was horrible. But I didn't know it was that because, like I said, I've been eating it all my life until, you know, 16. So.
Did you have a, like, I got to go to the hospital now?
Or it wasn't that bad. It wasn't bad. Just an itchy mouth, and then I became nauseated. You know?
Oh, okay.
So then I quit. Like, I must be allergic to shellfish, you know.
You know what we should do?
What's that?
Have you tried shellfish again for a video just to see what will happen. We'll have an EMT on site just in case.
I don't think my wife will like that.
I killed tourists, guys. I'm sorry. I tried to get him to do a stunt. I gave him some crab meat, and he's dead now.
He's dead now, right?
So where Comedian Torres is joining me this week. So where do you where does your comedy come from? Where would you do you write from your life or
actually write from personal experiences with life? And that's the funniest thing I think that things that you actually experience that you could talk about. Cuz I have a funny life, I tell you. I went through a lot of funny things in my life and everything. And I just write about that and you know, and I guess some people cuz like, "Oh yeah, I experienced that too," and they see the funny, the humor in it. So
That's, I think it comes from truth, exaggerated truth.
Yes.
Is where comedy comes from. And then pointing out hypocrisy in life that you see. Things
true.
That are true and nobody understands why we accept these things that we accept.
Exactly.
That would be another thing. And then shared experiences. There are certain things that everybody experiences. People are going to die that you're
true.
Close to, that you love.
Exactly.
You're going to get your heart broken. People
oh,
are
yeah,
going to leave you. You're going to get a flat tire. In your life, to a lesser extent. That's a little less heavy than the other ones. I was trying to think of another heavy one and couldn't.
Less heavy. People like to eat, and people see things in life that just are funny, you know, just funny in life, and I just bring it out, you know.
Yeah.
With all my topics, I write a lot. I do. That's one good quality I have in this comedy. I do write a lot, so.
What do you write on? Do you write on your phone, or do you have a notepad?
I got a notepad. I keep a notepad.
You can't do the phone thing.
No, I don't always have my phone on me. I always try to keep a pad on me.
Yeah.
And at least a pencil.
It's hard to just, I don't know why, just typing it, it feels like you have to concentrate more.
Exactly. I'm not,
on what you're writing.
True.
With a pad, you can just write, you know, organically and kind of.
Exactly.
I'd imagine, though, the younger ones are so used to just writing on their phone, though, it doesn't affect
true.
Them.
Yeah, they're more inclined with technology these days. I'm not really that. Technical. I just had a flip phone up until like about 2 years ago. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I'm a little far behind on this technology. But pen and pencil. I mean, paper and pencil. it's fine to me, you know. And yeah. I just started jotting down little funny things that I see or encounter. And my wife, I tell you, I just run things past my wife, and she just laughs and laughs. So that kind of helps, too, you know.
Yeah,
definitely. Have someone to share it with, you know.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, yeah.
So any more, do you plan on having any more kids? Are you done?
Oh, I'm done. Oh, no. It's time for retirement. That's a plan, not retirement, you know. You can't have those little kids and trying to retire, you know. Mm-hmm. So
what do you do for work? What's your day job?
Barber. I'm a barber.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I have a barber shop.
How long have you been doing that?
I've been cutting hair. Actually, since I was 12 years old, actually.
Really?
Yeah, I've been licensed age 18.
Do you have to do that through the state? You can't just you can't
no,
just
you
do it
be
on
licensed,
the
exactly. And I went to barber school and everything, and took 1,200 hours. You have to go to school 1,200 hours in the state of Florida.
Do you think you've done 10,000 hours in barbering? Would you
definitely
consider yourself a master?
Yeah. I'm a master barber, yes. I'll do 10,000 hours in barbering easily.
Are there, like, conferences to go to for, like, barbers where you learn new stuff?
Oh,
or
yeah,
kind
definitely.
Of just pick it up?
Usually I go, like, at least once a year to Atlanta. They have, like, seminars all the time and tell you about new products that's coming out, new technology in the hair styling field and different things like that. So I do usually try to take a trip to Atlanta at least once a year.
Yeah. So is that, I mean, that seems like it's kind of a passion of yours, too.
Oh, it
so
is.
Would you want to, if you had the opportunity to just do stand-up full-time, would you put the barbering aside? Or would that be something you would continue to
definitely
do?
Definitely will put barbering to the side for a stand-up career, yes.
Yeah.
But it's good to have both, though. You know, it might be on the road and make a couple of dollars on the road cutting hair, you know.
That's what Kyle Roos does. He tattoos. So he'll go do comedy and then during the day find a shop where he can, you know, guest tattoo and, you know, makes money both ways.
Oh, yeah. I did see him in on Facebook. He's in some city now, and I see him go to a tattoo shop, so that's cool.
Yeah. Man. Yeah, I think he's up in the Northeast, Boston, Maine. He's got a big following in Maine.
Believe
it or not. Yeah.
Really?
Which is kind of weird. But I guess there's people in Maine. Who knew? I had no idea.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. He does. He's a very funny guy, too, I tell you.
Oh, he's the best. I love him.
Yeah.
I think he's going to do a podcast with us, Funny Pricks, where he interviews local tattooers and kind of does his, you know, comedy at the same time.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. Do you do the social media thing?
Facebook on the comedian Taurus. Instagram on TaurusJ31.
It's TaurUS, right?
Yes, TaurUS.
And then J, just a letter J?
J.
And
yeah, letter J, 31.
No, 31.
Yes.
No underscores or dashes or anything?
No.
Okay.
No. Yeah, so that's only a couple things I do. You
know, no Twitter.
Twitter. Comedian Taurus also.
Comedian Taurus.
Yes, on Twitter.
Every comedian should have a Twitter.
Yes, that's what I was hearing.
Don't.
Like I said, I'm just not getting used to it. But, yeah, it's been helping. I've been reaching out.
It's pivotal. You have to do it.
You have to do it.
It's the best tool for comedians. Well, thanks, man. I appreciate you coming in. You got any shows coming up you want to promote?
Thanks for having me. I'll just be at Improv. I'm hosting June 15th at the Improv. Be coming in Raw. We have be on stage also at the Improv, like I said, June 15th. Catch me there at 7 o'clock.
Cool, man. Well, I appreciate you coming in.
Thanks for having me. It's been an interesting experience. You know?
Yeah.
I feel like I'm on
it's
my
fun,
way now.
It's fun, though, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Awesome. I was looking over like, hey, what's this all about? You know, it's been a great experience, though. I really appreciate you having me out and everything. And
you got it, brother.
We'll see
you at Slybar.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Right on. You can follow me on Twitter at @home_made_man. Same thing with Instagram and Facebook, HMB Radio. Don't forget to follow Radio St. Pete as well. Facebook.com/Radio St. Pete. STPETE. Have a good week. See you later.
Take care.